Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, as a Christian takes a look around at the world they are living in and sees a culture that does not acknowledge the sanctity of human life, especially for children in the womb, but also in many cases for the sick and disabled, they see a world in which sexual immorality is not only accepted, but is largely celebrated. They see a culture in which many institutions and workplaces are unwelcoming and even hostile towards Christian beliefs. They see a world in which many churches have been led astray by false teachers, and many faithful churches are struggling. It can be easy to get discouraged. It can be easy to feel like there's little hope for those who would be faithful to the Lord in this world. Now, some of those things that I just described might resonate with at least a few of you. But actually, what I was describing is how it would have felt for many Christians living in the Roman Empire in the first century. In a world and a culture that not only did not embrace their Christian beliefs and values, but was openly hostile towards them. And in particular, what I was describing is how things would have felt for the people whom John was writing to when he wrote his first epistle, which we heard part of in our scripture reading this morning. It was to people living in those kinds of circumstances that John sat down and wrote this letter as a letter of encouragement, a letter in which he acknowledged the very real difficulties that they faced, but a letter in which he also reminded them that those difficulties did not tell the whole story of their life, as he assured them that as followers of Jesus Christ, they were actually much better off than it might have appeared at the time. For while it might sometimes seem like the world is overcoming the Christian faith, in this inspired message from John, we are given the assurance that despite appearances, it is actually the other way around. That in fact, as the people of Christ, our faith overcomes the world. As we heard in our epistle reading, John writes, "Everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." So how can John make such a claim about victory for Christians when things do in fact look so discouraging in the world, and when Christians so often appear almost anything but victorious? Well, to answer that question, let's take a closer look at exactly what John is saying here. Or rather, what the Lord is saying through John here. When John refers to us and all Christians being victorious, what exactly does he mean by that? Well, let's first look closely at who or what he says we are victorious over. John says, "Everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." And so here John says twice that the victory that is ours is a victory over the world. But what exactly does he mean by that? In the Bible, when we hear about the world, that word is used in a few different ways. Sometimes it refers to this whole creation, the physical world that God created. Sometimes it refers to all the people of the world, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And sometimes it refers to this world in opposition to God, the fallenness of this world. That's what John meant, for example, when he said a little bit earlier in this same letter, "Do not love the world or the things that belong to the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in him. For everything that belongs to the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride in one's lifestyle is not from the Father, but is from the world." And the world with its lust is passing away, but the one who does God's will remains forever. And that is the world that John is referring to in the verses that we're focusing on today. The fallen world and its opposition to God. The world of lies and lusts and corruption. The world of darkness and death. That is the world that John is referring to when he says that we have overcome the world. So that is the world that we have overcome. And how does he say we have overcome it? By faith alone. As John says, this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Now here, though, we need to be clear that this is not just any faith, not just a generic faith or positive attitude that we're talking about. This is a very specific faith that John is referring to. And he's careful to make that clear by immediately adding these words. John says, who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? And so that is the faith that we are talking about. The faith that overcomes the world is specifically faith in Jesus. Not faith in yourself, not faith in the goodness of mankind or in any other God. It is faith in Jesus Christ and Christ alone that overcomes the world and wins the victory for us. And to see why that's true, it's important to understand that what makes faith great is not faith itself, not even the sincerity of your faith or the strength of your faith. But what makes faith great is the object of your faith, that is, the one that your faith is trusting in and holding on to. Faith is like a hand that is reaching out and holding on to someone or something. So, for example, putting faith in yourself essentially amounts to reaching out and holding on to yourself, which really does nothing to help you. It'd be like if you were walking on ice and started to slip, and to try to keep from falling, you reached out and took hold of yourself. Holding on to yourself is not going to keep you from falling, and faith in yourself is not going to overcome the world. And the same goes for all those other misguided places that we might be tempted to put our faith. If you put your faith in the goodness of mankind, for example, then you are holding on to something that we all know is far too fragile and far too fleeting to overcome the world. And if you put your faith in any God other than the one true God, any God other than the God who reveals himself in Scripture, then you're holding on to something that is not even there. It's like slipping on the ice and trying to keep yourself from falling by reaching out and grabbing on to thin air. And so if you were to put your ultimate faith in those kinds of things, in yourself, in other people, or other gods, if you were to trust in such things to help you overcome the world, then no matter how sincere your faith might be, and no matter how strong your faith in those things might be, the world would have absolutely nothing to worry about. But faith in Jesus is different. Faith in Jesus is powerful. Remember that what makes faith great is what that faith is holding on to. And when you have faith in Jesus, you are holding on to Jesus. More than that, when you are holding on to him, he is also holding on to you, much like a father reaching down and holding his child's hand. And you can trust that he will not let go of you. Through faith in Christ, you are united to Christ. And all that he has, he freely shares with you. He covers you with his righteousness and holds you up in his strength. He gives you his life and his peace, and he shares with you his victory. In the 16th chapter of John, Jesus says to all who would follow him in faith, "In the world, you will have tribulation, but take heart, for I have overcome the world." Here, Jesus begins by letting us know up front that following him does not mean we'll have an easy life in this world, that in some ways it will actually make things more difficult for us, because a world that opposes Christ and his ways will not make things easy for those who are devoted to Christ and his ways. And that's why Jesus told us ahead of time, "In the world you will have tribulation." But that is not the whole story for us, and Jesus assured us that that is not the end of the story for us. And he told us why. Because he has overcome the world. This world of sin, this world of darkness and death, did its best to overcome and defeat Jesus. And on Good Friday, as Jesus was crucified, died, and was buried, it would have looked like the world had won. But on the third day, everything changed. As Jesus arose, the stone in front of his tomb was rolled away, and the living Jesus stepped out of his tomb in the light of life and in the light of victory. By offering himself as the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the world, Christ took away sin's power to condemn us. And in this way, Christ defeated the power of sin. By his saving death and his victorious resurrection, Christ conquered death and the grave. He defeated death itself. It is just as we sang a few minutes ago, Jesus lives, the victory is won. Jesus won that victory for us, and now he freely shares that victory with us. And that's why Jesus says to us, "Take heart, for I have overcome the world." And that's why John says in our epistle that our faith is the victory that overcomes the world, because our faith is in Jesus, and Jesus has overcome the world. Already in this life, even in the midst of the tribulations of this world, we begin to experience the joys of what Jesus has won for us. It's already now, through faith in Jesus, we overcome the harshness of this world by resting in the peace of God's forgiveness. We overcome the darkness of this world by living in the light of Jesus Christ. And we overcome the coldness of this world by living in the warmth of God's love and by sharing that love with one another and with the world. And as we now enjoy those blessings, walking by faith with Jesus, we also look forward to the day to come when faith will give way to sight, when we will at last see our victorious Savior with our own eyes, and we will at last experience to the full the everlasting victory that he has won for us, the victory that we know is ours, by the grace of God alone, through faith in Jesus Christ alone. As we look forward to that day, I'd like to conclude this morning with the following words from 1 Corinthians chapter 15 about the good news of Christ's victory for us. Inspired by the Holy Spirit, St. Paul writes, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen." In the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.